congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some 300 years ago, the British people found themselves having to crown yet another king. Much planning went into the coronation ceremony of King George II, for which everything had to be of the best, including the music which was to be played. They sent for a man by the name of Mr. G.F. Handel, who was residing in Italy at the time, and commissioned him to compose four coronation anthems, giving him but 4 weeks to complete the task. Then on the 11th of October, 1727, the day finally arrived. Westminster Abbey was filled with royalty and dignitaries from all over Europe. The procession into the abbey was led by clergy, nobility, yeomen, and palace officials. And in due course, the time came for George II to be anointed. But just before the King and the Archbishop of Canterbury took their places on the dais, the orchestra was cued, and the coronation anthem, Zadok the Priest, began. Opening very quietly with the rhythmic bowing of single muted strings, the notes slowly grew into chords. The chords then began to swell into the cavernous space, building in volume and timbre, reaching a double fortissimo. And finally, with voices singing at the top of their lungs, the music exploded in a chorus, which quotes from 1 Kings 1, verses 34 and 35. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king. The anthem reached its climax with the words, God save the king, long live the king. And only when the last words of the coronation anthem were sung did the Archbishop of Canterbury pronounce the words, be thy head anointed with holy oil, be thy breast anointed with holy oil, as he anointed George II and soon after crowned him King of Great Britain and Ireland. It is with that kind of grandeur, congregation, and with that kind of splendour that we would like to imagine as being fitting for the coronation of Jesus as King. And that is what we give our attention to this evening, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to the throne of God and his crowning as King of Kings. From what we are told in the Gospels, Christ's ascension into heaven, his enthronement and coronation were as quiet and humble as his birth. His ascent from this world was as mysterious as his descent into the womb. But it seems the disciples were thinking of some elaborate celebration of their own. Their master had been brought down by death, had defeated death, and had come back to life. The man whom they had been following for the last 3 years was crucified for all to see, and then for several weeks had revealed himself in public alive, having defeated death. The Gospel writer Luke tells us in his opening chapter of Acts, in verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? The dream had been rekindled of Jesus becoming a king here on earth. The possibilities of his followers sitting in positions of power had once again become very real. To plan a coronation ceremony for one who displayed a power greater than death would not be very difficult to organize. The disciples were still hoping to see their master become king of the Jews. Their dreams evaporated on that 40th day after Jesus had risen from the dead. He was traveling with his disciples in the region of Bethany, teaching as he usually did while they walked. Then, as quickly as he appeared, Jesus disappeared, being lifted up into the air. We read, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. No fireworks, no fanfare, no farewell address. He was simply lifted up and taken away. He ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father, judging among the living and the dead. He ascended from this world as mysteriously as he descended into the womb. And the disciples stood there with only a breeze rustling through their hair, gazing upwards, mystified at what had taken place. One wonders if it would be proper to imagine what transpired in the heavens as Jesus ascended to the throne. One of the most gripping scenes a screenwriter can produce is when two parties who have been previously separated come back together and unite. How often have we not shed a tear seeing the simple scene of a child being reunited with a dog which had been lost? Every now and then you hear a story of brothers or sisters who have been separated for decades only to find each other again and be reunited. Try to imagine then the reunion experienced by the father and the prodigal son in Luke 15. Think of how it must have been for Jesus, who was sent to earth by his father to finally return to his father in heaven, completing the task which he had originally been asked to do. A leading commentator made an interesting observation where he suggested that perhaps we are somewhat selfish in meditating on the ascension by asking, how does Christ's ascension benefit us? Perhaps we should view the ascension from the viewpoint of Jesus and from the Father and from the angels. The apocalyptic letter of John in Revelation 5, verse 11, gives us something of a glimpse at what might have happened when this reunion took place. We read, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" Another majestic anthem comes to mind in the final piece of Handel's Messiah, "Worthy is the Lamb." The ascension into heaven need not be seen as a sad parting farewell, but rather a glorious homecoming, a reuniting of the Father and his Son. The coronation of the Lamb not only encompassed the ascension of Jesus and his anointing, but also included the crowning of others. In Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus speaks of that gift again in verse 8, where he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." It was just before his ascension that Jesus talked of crowning his disciples with the crown of the Holy Spirit, which would happen days later, with the Spirit descending on them in tongues of fire and imparting a desire to preach. The disciples were to be crowned with the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a result of the coronation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was little understanding on the part of the disciples in knowing what to expect. Their only instruction was to go into Jerusalem together and wait for the gift which Jesus had promised they would receive. They did not know what it meant to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. But once it happened, there was no mistaking what took place. Suddenly, a sound like a violent wind filled the house, and tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages, preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being crowned by the Holy Spirit meant being under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Even though he had just been taken up, Jesus continued to be their master, only now in the form of his Holy Spirit. The disciples were to carry on the ministry of Jesus, which he began several years before his ascension to the throne. And even though the ascension of Jesus to the throne may have been completed, the crowning continues, and people continue to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. Baptism of the Holy Spirit cannot be looked at suspiciously and received with fear. What we need to fear is not being baptized by the Holy Spirit and not being crowned by our Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit simply signifies that our spirits are completely under the control of the Holy Spirit, that our words are his words, and that our deeds are his deeds, working obediently in and through us. It demands that we surrender our lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ, totally and completely giving ourselves to him. This crowning of the Holy Spirit would affect lives which are lived as individuals, encouraging them to be obedient, taking up a responsible role in the church and the kingdom of our Lord. It would affect relationships within marriage and within the family, lifting each other up as image bearers of the living God and co-workers in the kingdom of Jesus Christ here on earth. Being baptized by the Holy Spirit requires that the lordship of Jesus Christ rules completely in all spheres of life. We cannot overlook the power which was given in being crowned by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was true that the disciples were gifted with a powerful desire to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, but so too was their desire to become established and built as communities of Christ in their particular situations and further afield. It was persecution against them that forced the disciples and followers of the way to go into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We, like the disciples, need to be reminded of the mandate of the Church of Jesus Christ, to preach his gospel unto all people, so that all may hear the good news. There are next door neighbors who have not heard of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There are people who you work with, who you engage in recreational activity with, who you associate with on a weekly basis. Be encouraged to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. And please do not be afraid of not knowing what to say, for being baptized by the Holy Spirit means allowing our spirits to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit and watching how quickly his words become our words. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ need not be viewed as a sad farewell between us and our Lord. Instead, perhaps we need to see it as a reunion and celebrate the coming together of the Father and his Son. But is that not the core message of the gospel? A coming together of God the Father and his sons and daughters? Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins and has ascended into heaven to take his place on the throne of God. And the celebration of his coronation continues as he still crowns others so that they too may be united with his Father in heaven. Be encouraged to take part in that celebration and allow the Holy Spirit to use your tongue, your actions, your love, and your good deeds to bring yet another under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and into the kingdom of God. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we do rejoice in the victory that belongs to the Lord Jesus, the victory over sin and death, and in his exaltation to the glories of heaven. And it is a victory we share in. We thank you that we have been crowned with the Holy Spirit, and that we are now not only your image bearers, but also your children and your emissaries. Be our help and strength as we respond to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in leading sanctified lives and seeking to build your church and kingdom. Hear us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.